This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're at Freedom Fest 2019 into now a second day of bonus interviews because that's just how it is here. We're loaded up with people who've got things that are interesting to talk about. Very interesting personalities here at this event. FreedomFest.com is where you can go to learn more. It's Ian here.
And Mark.
And Robin Corner. Did I get that right?
Kerner.
Robin,
yeah.
Kerner. Yeah. Normally I ask beforehand.
Yeah,
Robin Kerner is with us from RobinKerner.com. I'm going to spell that. RobinKerner.com. You are, did you say political psychologist?
Political psychology, that's what I do.
What is that?
What does that mean?
Well,
that course wasn't offered in college.
Yeah, although it is now offered online at weaponsofmasspersuasion.com.
That's a cool URL.
Online program, right?
Nice. That's a much easier URL to say than Robin Kerner.
Well, maybe easier to spell, yeah.
Weaponsofmasspersuasion.com.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Which is a
program for libertarians who want to get good at persuading non-libertarians that they need to become libertarians, basically, to put it in a nutshell.
So you're an actual libertarian here at this conference.
I'm iffy about the labels. You know, Kierkegaard said you label me, you negate me, and I kind of believe in that. And also, I've got the shtick about how libertarianism in the U.S. right now, for many, has become a kind of neo-religious orthodoxy.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm exactly that. I am neo-religious orthodox libertarian.
I'll accept it as a
religious title because I think that it is closer to that than anything else.
Interestingly. And interesting you say that because I think people... you know, who label them, not all of them by any means, but a good chunk of people who gladly accept that label, and I'm afraid to say beat other people over the head with it sometimes.
I hope not.
But if they call in, they're going to
get beaten. Go ahead.
they kind of operate as if kind of almost part of a religion, which I don't think actually helps the cause.
Maybe not.
I'd
love to hear the reasons why not. So for me, I consider libertarianism to be a moral code as opposed to anything else. Like, Democrats and Republicans are political organizations attempting to gain the reins of power to, I don't know, do whatever it is they're doing versus libertarians who actually have a principle from which they operate. And, if you have a religion, if you believe in God, then at that point you would have to presume God is on your side. Everybody does, from the Eskimos to the Arabs to everybody thinks God's on their side. So therefore... it sounds like a religion. It sounds like it to me. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's this great thought experiment, right, where somebody's dying on the street, there's a doctor, but the doctor's not going to treat the guy because he ain't got any money. He's not being paid, right?
All right.
So somebody says, this is ridiculous, I'm just going to go into that house, I'm going to steal something, I'm going to pay you with it, and then I'm going to put it right with the house owner, right? Now, on a pure, let's say, kind of anarcho-capitalist reading, the guy saving the life by paying the doctor is violating a pure principle,
sure,
right?
Mm-hmm. Now, agreed.
But almost everybody, including pretty much every libertarian I know, says... Yeah, the libertarian principle doesn't give you the entire moral answer in this situation.
Sure.
To your point about moral code, I think you can go as far as saying it's political philosophy, and obviously it's a strong one because here I am and I advocate for it and I teach people to advocate for it better, right? But it's not all of morality.
It's a foundation from which to build.
But I don't think you can build from the foundation to, steal the thing out of the house, put it right with the homeowner, pay the doctor and save the life, right? I mean, there's some other... All I'm saying is it's not complete.
It's not complete.
And in that sense, I'm saying it's not a neo-religious moral code. Or it shouldn't be held as a neo-religious moral code.
Right.
But people... That there are some... And I'm not saying, again, all by any means. But those that operate as if it is the whole story and there's nothing else to discuss.
Right.
Right now, speaking also as a political psychologist, psychologist, as well as someone that cares about the theory of liberty and logical consistency, right, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot. Because everybody can see, intuit, morally intuit, that it isn't the whole story. So if you keep telling us it is the whole story, then we
you
we
lose credibility.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I see that a lot.
I don't think they've thought it through that much. I mean, it requires the examples like you're talking about. Another good one, I think, that you came up with this one was, you know, what if I'm standing in the street and I'm not paying attention and a bus is coming at me and he pushes me out of the way? Well, he's just violated the non-aggression principle to save my life.
Right. This is something I felt very early on from really engaging the liberty canon, that there are these important cases. And what I'm kind of, I guess, pleased about, and why I may be more comfortable with the label, let's say, classical liberal than libertarianism, is because if you go back into the foundations of this philosophy, or, you know, through the evolution of it, the founders of classical liberalism and, you know, what came to be libertarianism, they did recognize these things, right? They did tackle them. So John Locke is a lot more sophisticated than, you know, Homestead, mix your labor with the fruits of the land and there's your private property done. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I mean, and that whatever you think about, let's say, the Lockean proviso, right? The fact that it exists and that other people were considering those difficult questions, that's really important. And I would just like to see libertarians, actually understand their own tradition better, right, more fully.
Sure.
And I think when I say orthodoxy, what happens is they've cut some bits off, they've kind of turned the other bits into a purism thing, and I just think something's been lost in that.
Well, everybody loves history. The people who love history, and we think it's important. And I would agree with you, it's important because I love history. However, I think that most people wander around life and, you know, they go from birth to death without really much relationship to history or much care. And somehow or another, they manage to put together a life. And it's their life and they like it. You know, maybe they know more about sports or drag racing or whatever it is than I do. And I guess I just kind of have to let it go because...
Oh, yeah. No, I'm only referencing history because I just think that libertarians could understand libertarianism better, and if they did, not only would they be more accurate and better, right, they would be able to sell it better too, and we'd have more libertarians, which is what I'm interested in.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
So for me, what I do is I just say it's a big tent, and I'm not ready to take anybody's membership card and tear it apart.
Right.
Because, you know, whether or not they agree with me on some minute issue that probably isn't going to affect us, for instance, I've avoided the abortion problem in my life. I've made it to 48. They're not going to abort me. So, you know, okay. I don't have to worry about that in particular today. Yeah. And there's, so if one wants to talk about the morality of abortion, fine, we can chit-chat about it. Don't get too wound up, though, because, no abortions are going to go on in this room while we're talking.
Yeah.
So
you've said it, Big Ten. And so all of my spiel that I've just given you, I guess, is a concern about the little tentism that in places dominates the culture of libertarianism.
Oh, yeah.
In places.
It seems like you cannot have a conversation between two libertarians without them whipping out their libertarianism, laying it on the table, and then getting out the measuring stick and, say, my libertarianism is 8.5 of centimeters or whatever the, I don't know, you Europeans and your devil measurements, whatever they are.
I did mention to you before the show started, I've been speaking about Brexit. I'm hoping that you will no longer be able to say to European and your devil measurements. we're where the imperial measurements come from. You guys are still them, right? We want them. You know, we want to
want
be selling.
Do you want those things back? Seriously?
We had a man. I mean, I remember this as a teenager. I'm no longer a teenager, as you can see, but couple of decades ago, let's put it that way. There was a guy called the Metric Martyr, and he went to jail because he worked at a market. It's a market town in England, right?
Yep.
And his old customers, they didn't know what a kilogram was. And so he sold in pounds and ounces, just like he'd always done. But the European had mandated that you had to primarily display kilograms. He said, I'm not doing it. The local council took that man to court and won. And that was a great example of the stories that caused the Brits to say, F this for a game of soldiers, we're out.
Thank you for the self-censorship. I appreciate that. That way I don't have to stop the recording and go back and edit that. You know, it sounds like you're pretty educated on the whole Brexit thing. Can we get into that? Do you have time for another segment
let's
here?
Do it. Yeah.
Robin Kerner is with us from, the long website.
Weapons of Mass Persuasion.com.
You're looking to help libertarians get better at persuading people, right?
Basically.
Yeah, because some of them are just awful. Just awful at it. So we'll because, you know, it takes practice. It takes it takes time to develop a skill.
It takes getting out of your own way quite a lot. It takes getting your ego out of your position sometimes. Yeah,
all right, so hold that thought. Let's get back into, we'll get into Brexit here and what's going on. What's the latest? We haven't talked about it in, I don't know, months probably on Free Talk Live. And we're going to continue from Freedom Fest 2019.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block, and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DinoVite.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s, and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dinovite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies,
grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it, and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dynavite for life.
This is Ed Lukasiewicz.
And Cindy Lukasiewicz.
Inviting you and your pets to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Don't you hate that feeling in the pit of your stomach when the police pull you over? Most people have no idea how to handle it properly, and they promptly get fed into the municipal fee-generating meat grinder. Or maybe you recall that feeling you get when you go to the mailbox and see one or more letters from the IRS. You get a sense of impending doom, don't you? So let me ask you, if you could learn how to use the law to beat the IRS, traffic tickets, almost any courtroom scenario, collectors, credit card debt, and even a mortgage debt because of fraud perpetrated against you, would that be worth knowing about? Don't laugh. Investigate. Check out the life-changing benefits of the Lighthouse Law Club at their website, lighthouselaw.club. That's lighthouselaw.club. And while you're at it, visit the Lighthouse Law Club YouTube channel. You might be in for a pleasant surprise.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-4242. free.
It's Free Talk Live. We're at Freedom Fest 2019 as we are on day number 4, recording day number 6 of interviews. It's been a little grueling, Mark. You and I were, we were talking so long yesterday that after my first karaoke song, I was pretty hoarse.
Yeah, I thought that I was getting sick.
I did too.
It turns out that I was talking too much.
Yeah, my throat was sore. I wasn't sure if I could sing a second song last night. Thank goodness they had so many singers, I actually ended up not being called for a second song. But feeling better today. Everything's good here.
Yeah, that's fine. Had some and, water. Went to bed.
Yep, Robin Kerner's with us. He is a political psychologist. And I don't think, even though I asked, I don't think you quite defined what that was. Maybe you
a lot of people's political choices are motivated or driven by psychological factors,
mm-hmm.
right? If you don't understand psychology, you don't understand the biggest part of how people make political decisions or respond to political claims, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can't persuade them from, let's say, you know, voting for a duopoly forever to not doing that anymore, let's
right.
say. So that's what I'm interested in. Right?
Did you train in psychology?
No, I trained in physics.
Oh, wow.
Yes, right. Hence the nuclear physics joke.
Well, that's
at the
funny.
Beginning.
I made a nuclear physics joke.
Yeah.
He said he could talk about it. I'm like, well, not with me, you can't.
Yeah. But I think a lot of the value I bring to politics, right, which I kind of got into accidentally about a decade ago, is that I'm a scientist trying to do it. Which means I've had to become, I don't want to say a psychologist, so I haven't got a bunch of letters after my name in it, but that's what people pay me to do because that's what I'm good at.
Right, just because you don't have a bunch of letters doesn't mean you don't understand
absolutely,
the thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Brexit, let's jump into this. It's something that we've been interested in, and to some extent, whenever we see the news about it, we'll cover what's going on. And it's sort of what, at least my understanding so far, is what I expected it to be, which is to say the people voted to have this happen, that is to say Great Britain to leave the European Union, and then it was put into the politicians' hands, and now it's been, what, 3 years now since that happened? Because I think at the time, I just said this is going to take, a long time, which is going to be a decade before anything actually ends up shaking out of this. Just because that's politics. These people are constantly dragging their feet. There's all these processes that they say they have to go through. Where does this thing stand right now?
Well, that's, nobody ever really knows where the thing stands at any given point because nobody is clear about where the individuals who have the hands on the levers of this actually stand, right? So, for example, all the problem we had in the first 3 years with Theresa May, right, the outgoing prime minister,
right.
A big part of the problem there was she was saying one thing, doing another.
No, shocking.
Right? I know, right? but big, right?
Uh-huh.
And then and kept saying, but just trust, hold on, I'm on it, right? And
the Tories who want this?
Yeah. And then there was a point where push came to shove where she had to show her hands, and she had the choice. There was the binary choice between follow the law and Brexit on March 29th. That was the first date. And then there was another one on April the 7th. And
this
then
year?
Was another,
is this year?
Yeah.
What year are we in now?
2019.
This year. Yes, but instead of doing that, she actually did, I can only call it constitutional shenanigans, right, to hand her choice over to a parliament that had declared it would subvert the choice already made.
Lovely.
And actually criminalised the implementation of the referendum. The parliament literally criminalised, made illegal the government's implementation of the referendum, on which 80% of people in the parliament got elected. Right? So the degree of dishonesty, the degree of chutzpah, of blatancy, is unprecedented even by normal political standards.
Why do the politicians want to stay in the EU so badly? I mean, I get the idea what the advantages are to a federation or whatever, but I mean...
Probably the same reason
voted.
Any politician does something, because somebody's got them in their back pocket.
That's my guess. The EU is a gravy train. There's no doubt about it, right? It was built to be a gravy train. It was built not to be a democracy.
A gravy train for the politically connected, you mean, the politicians?
Yeah, the politically connected. But also all the, corporate.
Corporations,
it's built. It's a... I mean, if I was being cynical, I'd say it's kind of a fascist thing, right? Mm. Because it's state, corporate, you know, where the democratic... People don't realize how undemocratic it is. It's anti-democratic, right? Yeah, so lawmakers don't originate law, right? What the hell is that about? Their equivalent of civil servants, bureaucrats.
Okay, bureaucrats do, okay.
Right? And then Parliament, if they're lucky, get an up-down vote.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's nothing in this system. So not only you've got that problem, there can be law that you can completely design a law, let's say, to screw the British. This has been done many times, right? So, for example, the British have the greatest financial centre, certainly in Europe, arguably in the world, right?
London is the financial centre of the world. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Okay.
And the New Yorkers may not like it.
Okay, fair enough. We'll go with that for some moment.
Right.
So, of course, so you can craft a bunch of legislation about, let's say, financial services. Well, obviously that screws the British. Now, let's say 100% of British people and 100% of British MEPs vote against it. Nothing. 92% are for it. You're the 8%. Against it in the European Parliament, right? It goes through. On top of that, you have something called the Ratchet Clause. The Ratchet Clause is the opposite of the 10th Amendment, right? The Ratchet Clause is when a power is ceded or conceded to the European Union for whatever purpose, it can never be returned
to
theirs.
The states. Yeah.
That
is not the way to put together a federation.
That is not the way to put together a federation. It's dark, dark, dark. Right.
So, I love the way the United States Federation was sort of put together originally, but it clearly didn't work because all that power aggregated to Washington, D.C.
Right.
How to undo it? I don't know. You can read the 10th Amendment over and over again to people, and they'll just look at you with glazed eyes. And
well, undoing is secession. Many, as you can see, that's not even very easy when you have voted for it.
Now, in the United States... Right, at least, more to a first order approximation, it was a voluntary federation. Right, the states basically,
I'm not sure I agree with you, but okay.
Okay, there was ratification. There was a ratification of a
constitution. They blockaded Rhode Island and told them that there would be no trade. No,
sure, I said to a first order approximation, right? But in contrast this with the European Union, every single state that voted in a referendum, I'm talking a few years ago now, on the European constitution voted it down. So what they did was they put the text in a treaty, which was called the Lisbon Treaty. They changed like 2-3% of it. And then they said, well, now it's not a constitution, it's just a treaty, so your referendums don't count. Right. That's the tyranny of the EU. It is so FU, right?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And the British aren't like the Continentals. The British,
no, they are not. I mean, they're people call British European probably because they have no other term for them. And I'm willing to toss them in if you want to sort of use the greater term European. But there's a difference in the attitude and the being of a Brit.
Right. And so calling a Brit a European, that's legit geographically. But politically, Britain is common law. It's law. And justice from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
The continent is Napoleonic code, et cetera, right? It's top down. It's a completely different political culture, right? And so what the Europeans think is being awkward is just us not wanting to be serfs.
And when in America, when people look at the most corrupt legal systems, they'll often look at Louisiana, which is the only state in America that uses the Napoleonic Code. There are parallels in the U.S.
Check him out. He's Robin Kerner over at, throw the website out one more time, Robin. It's
weaponsofmasspersuasion.com.
Thank you for that.
And you can get all my stuff, my articles and other content on Robin Kerner, KERNER.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for stopping by here on Free Talk Live as we continue. Maybe more from Freedom Fest coming up. We have no idea at this point.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up 2 tubes of Dogasuds.
Get the 3rd tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogasud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up. Rinse away.
Try Dogasuds. Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Business owners, you want more customers? Accept cryptocurrencies. There's people all around you just waiting to spend money at your store. If only you would take it. I know, you've been waiting till someone else makes it easy. Well, good news. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com adds Bitcoin to your point of sale. Totally free. Use the same equipment you already have, now with Bitcoin. And unlike credit cards, there's no fees. Let the guys at HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com bring new customers to your store. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The war in Afghanistan has been going on for 18 years, but President Trump tells reporters on Monday you could win it pretty easily.
I have plans on Afghanistan that if I wanted to win that war, Afghanistan would be wiped off the face of the earth. It would be gone. It would be over in literally in 10 days.
Congressional and White House negotiators have reached a deal to increase the debt ceiling and also increase spending in the United States, although Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell seems to be no fan of adding more spending.
We are spending more than I would like to, but I don't get to ignore the House. The president doesn't get to ignore the House.
The Kentucky Republican was speaking there on Fox Business. A final look at your numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow gained 18 points to close at 27,172. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. We're at Freedom Fest 2019, a second bonus day of interviews. I don't think we're going to fill the whole show, I don't think, with Freedom Fest, but we've got another thing we're going to this weekend that's called Anarcho-Vegas.
Anarcho-Vegas,
so you may hear some Anarcho-Vegas interviews after we wrap up here at Freedom Fest.
I get the impression they can party over there.
I suspect they can, so we will find out about that. But still more people to talk to from here at the conference, a voice that many of our longtime listeners will recognize. Certainly people listening on the streams over the years will certainly recognize Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation at FFF.org. Welcome back, Jacob.
Nice to be back. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's the first time I've spotted you here. I know you've got your own booth, I think, here at this event. How many of these have you been to?
Over the years, maybe four or five.
This is my first one.
Okay.
And we were just talking with Ernie Hancock on a previous show about the kind of the makeup of the audience here and how it's. I think it's a good thing to have libertarians mixing in with people who don't necessarily agree with us on everything.
Yeah, my feeling is that it's more of a predominantly conservative audience.
It has that feel.
Yeah. And But we bring in our libertarian message here, and I agree with you. I think it's good to expose conservatives to libertarian perspectives.
I think it's good to expose anybody to libertarian perspectives, but this is a perfect opportunity to do so.
You, FFF.org, probably has the most philosophically pure libertarian philosophy of any of the sort of think tanks that are going on in Washington.
That's why I'm glad he's here.
Yep. And as a result, you will then end up taking some positions that are pretty outlandish as far as sort of normal Americans go. I've heard you taking an immigration position in the past that is philosophically completely in line with what Free Talk Live takes. And I can tell you, whenever we say that free people should be able to cross the borders of free countries freely, or you don't have free people and you don't have free countries, wham! The doors kick open, and why do you hate America? Right? Like, you know, the flags are flying. And, you know, you're going to hear it in the background. God bless America. You know, the whole thing. And, you know, here we are, the unwashed heathens at storming the gates or something.
Yeah, it's interesting because conservatives talk about free markets and free enterprise and limited government. And yet they support these programs that are really socialist, big government. They bring into existence a police state.
Yeah.
We have an immigration police state in the American Southwest. You've got highway checkpoints. Where
I've been at them.
Me too.
Me too.
They've stopped me at these checkpoints, and I ask them, do you have reasonable, am I being detained? And they, you know, they'll say, yes, you're being detained. Do you have reasonable, articulable suspicion that I've committed a crime? And they'll say, no. And then that means there's 1,000 years of English common law piled up behind you that says you can't detain me. I've done nothing wrong, and you have no idea that I have done something wrong. Are you a U.S. citizen? Well, I'm not going to answer that question today. Thank you. And somehow they just do whatever they do.
That's right, including taking you out of your car, bashing in your window if you don't roll it down, and,
it's happened
and
to
dragging
some people.
You out and beating you out like a minister they beat
That's
up.
Right.
And these are for people that have never left the country, and Americans have become accustomed to this tyranny, but it's a police state. And the whole
what could be possibly not police state about stopping people and asking them for their papers?
Of course.
I mean, that's like the definition of a police state.
Exactly. I've been to Cuba, and they had these highway checkpoints in Cuba where you had to show your papers.
When was this? How long ago?
About 10 years ago.
Okay.
And you could feel the tyranny in Cuba.
Yeah.
But people are there accustomed to it. It's a highway checkpoint. It's no big deal. You've got Americans now returning from vacation overseas that have to disclose their password on their cell phones.
It happened to me.
It did?
I missed my connecting flight. It was held for 3 hours as they searched my devices. Not once, but twice.
Wow.
And once in secret. So the first time I could watch it happen. But then when the plainclothes officers who knew what they were doing came out, they then just took my devices away. I protested. I said, hey, I'd like to watch you do this so I know you're not doing untoward things to my devices. You can say no to putting the password in, but then they confiscate the device, and you probably never get it back.
Right, and they'll detain you for hours to make your life inconvenient. You've got warrantless searches of ranches and farms. I grew up on a farm on the Rio Grande in South Texas. The Border Patrol could come into our farm without a warrant anytime they wanted.
That's terrifying.
If we put a lock on our gate, they would shoot it off.
Wow.
So this is what comes with immigration control.
I wonder how many people have died trying to shoot off a lock.
Right. Well, this is their system. This is what conservatives support. It's a socialist system. The immigration system is. That's why you have this huge backlog of people trying to get in, and why you have crops that are rotting in the fields because they don't have enough workers here in the United States. This is what socialism does. It's central planning.
Right. No one would say that it's a good idea to put the government in. Very few people would say that it's a good idea to put the government in charge of, say, food production or something like that. But when you put the government in charge of the distribution of labor, and that's what immigration is, then you're giving them the keys to the kingdom when it comes to production. You're acknowledging that somehow it's the U.S. trading with Mexico. The U.S. doesn't trade with Mexico. These are two tyrannical organizations that just claim dominion over the people in their geographic areas. I'm trading with Juan, and you know, and that's really the difference.
Well, and you're also giving bureaucrats the control over the supply of labor. Oh, well, we know how many Mexicans should be able to, we know how many folks from Portugal
they can't
should be able
to drugs out of their own prisons. They don't know crap.
Yeah. No, you guys are hitting the nail on the head. This is what central planning is involved with socialism. Bureaucrats deciding how many immigrants from each country, what their qualifications are going to be. This is why you have the crisis. And we've had this crisis for decades. It's never gone away. And yet there's this imaginary plan that they think, oh, well, comprehensive immigration reform, it'll fix it. It cannot be fixed.
Let's throw some more bureaucrats at the problem.
Exactly.
That'll help.
Or make more money.
Like you were saying, they love small government, they say, but they have never seen a proposed increase in the size of the Border Patrol that they've opposed.
Yeah. And the military, they send the military down now.
Sure.
And now the separation of children, the Berlin Wall they want to build. It all starts mounting up because they get angry and frustrated that their social system isn't working. And we end up with this police state.
The Berlin Wall was actually sold as a protection device from the terrifying people of the West.
Mm-hmm.
It was sold as that.
Yep.
I mean,
there it is again.
There it is
again.
Yeah, you often wonder whether it was still if it was in existence now, whether Trump would say, don't tear it down, just move it over to our country on the southern border.
Boy, would that be a bureaucratic boondoggle, moving a wall from one point to another.
Well, it's a boondoggle already.
It's crazy. And one of the most frustrating things, we encountered this. We had a little panel where he and I were talking here a couple nights ago, and we had some folks there, and it ended up turning. It was supposed to be just kind of interact with the talk show host, ask questions. It turned into an immigration debate, of course. And, you know, one of the things that's so frustrating is they'll bring up the fact that, well, it's a welfare state. Because it's a welfare state, we got to have a wall. We got to keep these people out. And it's like these conservatives.
I kind of agree with that. I mean,
these conservatives have given, but you don't agree with building a wall. It is a welfare state. We know that. But they've given up the ghost on this. They're like, well, we can't get rid of welfare, so we need a police state. And how do you address that one?
You say that. As a libertarian, you never abandon your principles just because it's going to cost more money. I mean, that's the argument, that they're going to come on welfare and it's going to cost us higher taxes. Well, there's people who have given their lives for much more than a little bit of money they're paying in higher taxes. We can never let the status, conservatives or liberals, maneuver us libertarians into joining them up, joining with them on any issue, including immigration, Social Security, Medicare. Think about it. Should we wait to legalize drugs until Medicaid is abolished?
Absolutely not.
Of course not. Right. We have to adhere to principle even though it costs us extra money, and we focus on ending the wrongdoing, that is, ending welfare, than joining up with them in the destruction of liberty on immigration control.
It's just so sad because, look, as libertarians, this is where libertarians are just dead on accurate. We have the most compassionate perspective. Our perspective says, let people in. Let them make a better life for themselves. Also, end government welfare and allow charities and allow people who care, volunteers, people who want to actually help other people. Let them take care of others. It would be so much better, as Mary Ruard has pointed out, also much more efficient at spending charitable money to help these people. This is the solution.
It is the only solution that works, and it is the only solution that is consistent with moral, religious, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, economic, and liberty principles.
Beautiful stuff. Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation. Check him out at fff.org. You can sign up for an email newsletter, and once again, fff.org. We'll continue with more from Free Talk Live at Freedom Fest.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. We're at Freedom Fest 2019 on what is the final day here. You've missed out. If you missed it, you can come back probably next year. I'm sure it'll be happening again. Go to freedomfest.com. You can learn more about it. Also, be sure you go to local.bitcoin.com where you can buy and sell Bitcoin Cash with a whole bunch of different methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposits, remittances, or even meeting up in person with cash. There's also like a couple dozen others of kind of an international flavor. So this is a truly international website with people all over the globe buying and selling Bitcoin Cash. And there's no know-your-customer requirements, so you don't have to show an ID to the site in order to sign up at local.bitcoin.com. And your conversations between buyers and sellers are encrypted, so you've got privacy here unlike any other site like it. So go to local.bitcoin.com. So we were just sitting here talking with Emma, who is the photographer for Robin, who we just had on a moment ago. Emma Hinchliffe is with us. And you and Mark were getting into it about sort of British history, and you guys know a thing or two about this. In fact, you're a pretty very interested in history, Emma.
Right, I'm at the shallow end of the pool on this one.
Yeah, so welcome to Free Talk Live.
Thank you.
So what's your area of expertise, Emma?
So my area of expertise is Henry VIII.
Right, and you're a real historian. I'm just somebody who likes to watch stuff on TV.
I am training to be a real historian.
Okay, well.
But as I was saying to you, I hate that label, I think.
Why?
I think the Academy tries to use the label as a way to stop anyone who's interested in history going a little bit deeper, right? They want to make sure that they have the last word on these
They're
people.
The source for all the information.
Yes, yes. Right. And no, it's not like they're fallible and they have their own biases, right? You know.
Sure. At this point, history is just an agreed-upon lie, right, is the old terminology.
True.
And so how do they come up with what they consider to be the closest thing to the truth when, you know, it's difficult to, for instance, I've heard that you can't even prove that George Washington existed. And, for instance, Jesus Christ, people, claim that he didn't even exist. Like, he hasn't even written anything down. There's no,
right.
Jesus Christ, I accept the Roman crucifixion. Like, there's no signature. Mm-hmm. So how do you do that kind of stuff? How do they prove these things?
I mean, the idea
is... It's a science, supposedly.
Supposedly it's a social science, correct.
Soft science.
Right. I mean, modern historians have a much easier time doing that. I'm an early modernist, so
yeah.
I'm dealing with people that were living hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Sure.
So, it's the records. A good historian should go back to the records and use the evidence that is there to build their case. Unfortunately, a lot of historians today have an idea of what they want to say about the past before they even get
right.
to the
archive. That's a sign of bad science.
Yeah,
for
completely,
sure.
Completely.
So with Henry VIII, I find this, I saw this show, The Tudors, years ago, really enjoyed it, but some of the things kind of sucked me out. So this devastatingly handsome young man
very attractive,
plays Henry VIII in this. And Henry VIII didn't divorce his first wife until, his 50s or something? 60s?
Yeah, he's with Catherine of Aragon for over 20 years. And I think the problem with that show, and this is one of the things that happens when you're trying to make entertainment out of the long swathe of history, right? They didn't have 20 years to film it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he's with Catherine of Aragon for a good 20 years. He's very much in love with her. And in the show, that wasn't really clear, I think.
No, he didn't want her around at all. He sent her off to a nunnery.
Yeah, he traded her in for, who was it, Natalie Dormer, right?
Yes.
I can't really blame him.
Difficult to argue with that. Beautiful woman played Anne Boleyn, who wasn't exactly a beautiful woman.
No, not at all.
Well, it's television.
All the records say she was pretty plain. The most beautiful wife was Jane Seymour, apparently, who was my favorite wife and I think the best wife.
So who was Jane Seymour?
Jane Seymour was his third wife, who gave Henry the long-awaited heir.
Right,
Edward
the son
that
they were looking for. And who did he end up becoming? What was his title?
Edward the Sixth.
Edward the what?
Sixth.
Sixth.
Yeah.
Very good. And Henry VIII, did he have, mercury poisoning? What was going on with him? It seemed like he got pretty erratic there at the end.
I mean, there's rumors he had syphilitic dementia. There's all these things going on.
Okay.
There is some evidence to suggest that he had a very bad hunting accident in his late 30s.
Okay.
And that the wound went septic.
Oh, my.
And he was never the same since then.
And how would that affect your mind? I don't know much about sepsis.
I don't know much about sepsis either, to be honest.
So perhaps it made him a little kooky.
I think so, but I think he got paranoid, honestly. I think it took him so long to get the male heir, and he finally had the male heir.
Okay.
I think it was just a case of getting more and more paranoid the older he got.
It seemed like at least in the show, he was working very hard to bring those nobles in line. How much power did the king really have over these nobles?
Well, this is always a debate with the English case versus the continent. I mean, technically, England is an elective monarchy, even under the Tudors. They don't wield the absolute power that the continental Europeans do. There is this tradition of common law, there's a tradition of Magna Carta. So Henry would have had a sense that if he doesn't please the people, they technically could rise up, and it's a problem for him. He doesn't have this sense of divine right in the way that maybe some of the continental Europeans did.
What would it mean for them to rise up? Are we talking about a violent overthrow?
Well, the Pilgrimage of Grace is the biggest example of that, and that is a march that comes to the court, and they petition the king, and he's able to appease them, and he's able to do that by blaming his evil advisors, actually, which is the common...
It wasn't my fault, it was the advisors.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to execute one of them, don't worry.
Completely. And he did. Right.
Well, no shortage of executions going on. Henry VIII, of course, known probably the biggest thing he's known for, besides, knocking off wives, was that he separated England from Catholicism, which was tremendous stuff to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a real revolution without quite so many deaths. How many people had to die for this to happen? I mean, how many was he executing? Did he have to execute some people to make this happen, or did he just sort of do it through the force of law?
No, he does it through the force of law. It's pretty amazing. Thomas Cromwell is able to implement it all through Parliament, and there isn't really that many deaths for it.
And what year was that?
1536.
And so about 100 years later, the English Revolution occurs. Is there any relationship to the splitting off from...
the Civil War?
Yeah.
I've
heard it called the English Revolution, but what the hell do I know?
Yeah. I mean, it all stems from the break between Puritans, well, the Protestants and the Catholics, which starts with Henry.
Hmm. Right.
That we go on this very strange... So Henry breaks from Rome, and then we become technically a Protestant country, though Henry theologically and is actually Catholic. It's amazing. He breaks. It's a political break.
Yeah.
He still believes in the mass.
He wanted to be able to divorce, right?
Completely. And he also wanted more power. The thing about the Protestant Reformation that I think is often forgotten is that it was very good for princes. Because the papacy at that point is also a very big secular power.
Oh, yes.
So for princes to go to Protestantism, they therefore then get more control over their polity.
And how many countries did that?
Countries
is probably the wrong term.
No, because a lot of city-states did it. So
okay.
I'm thinking that. A lot of city-states in Germany. The Germans...
And at the time, Germany was just this patchwork of city-states, really.
Yeah. So England's the biggest country to do it.
Okay.
And then the French do it later on.
I was just thinking of, like, William of Orange and things like that. But I don't have the timelines in my head
the
way that you do, you know. And I was wondering to myself while we were talking whether the Magna Carta had even been signed by the time of Henry VIII. And it shows where I'm at.
Years before.
Right. Yeah, I hear that the English monarchs will never name a kid John again because John was the one who signed this. Have you ever heard this?
No, I haven't, but we don't have any, so maybe that's true.
Right?
Yeah. We've got one Archie now, which is strange.
Archie.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
Well, they actually can change their names once they get the seat, though, right?
Yes. Because so, Prince Charles is going to be King George, I believe.
And why does that happen?
I think it's just to keep in line with the history.
Just love George.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a king. I don't follow any of this, so I'm just listening.
Mm-hmm. So Prince Charles will be the next king?
Is that after the queen. Old lady dies?
Yes.
Okay.
The old lady dies.
He and I do not agree on this. To me...
You're probably not monarchist, are you?
I am monarchist.
Oh, okay.
So I'm of the opinion that the queen and, you know, the whole monarchy brings so much in tourist dollars to the country that everybody else can kiss their butts. I mean, you know, look, when you can do what they can do, which is bring people to come look at the guys with the big tall hats and stuff,
wonderful.
You know, then, well, you know, from that standpoint, I don't think they should necessarily, the God's given them the ability to rule or anything, but then again, I don't think God's given the ability to Parliament to rule either.
No.
So, you know, I think that they're a wonderful tourist attraction, and, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, mum, I mean, and if I had to ever, you know, yes, indeedy, you know, she should get what she wants because she's the biggest star in the world.
She is. It costs each Briton something like £1 of their taxes.
To take care of it, but what do they get out of it? You know, from the standpoint of what she brings in as far as dollars, you know, somebody goes there and buys a sandwich, they've suddenly paid for their, from the sandwich maker, makes his dollar back.
She's Emma Hinchliffe, she's a historian, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
On
thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
Your blog site, Emma Hinchliffe, it's EMMAHINCHLIFFE.com. More coming up, this is Free Talk Live.
I'm crazy about My Magic Mud. This is the most important oral care product created this millennium, and I'm not kidding. We all have different opinions on politics and issues, but we all have mouths. And I want yours to be as clean as possible, with teeth as bright as they were meant to be. I will never be without My Magic Mud. It's a little surprising, but man, does it work. If you only listen to one thing I say ever, go to MyMagicMud.com and get 20% off with code FTL. MyMagicMud.com, code FTL.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. Local.bitcoin.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.